Blog Talk Radio.
It's showtime.
Greetings and welcome to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. Our show is about disability rights, disability services, and your disability dollar. Your voice and advocate. Voice your concern. Voice your opinion. But please let your voice be heard. Our mission is to bring to you the people, the places, and the things that control your life, which is inclusion into society, which is living more independently in your home and in your community. America, welcome to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, your friendly neighborhood networker. Our motto is, increase your network and you'll increase your network. And behind microphone number two is our hostess with the mostest, Miss Renee. Again, welcome my listening audience to Sight and Vision Disability Talk Radio Show. And again, I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. Although I've been blind for more than 50 years, when I was a mere lad of 13 years old, a big firecracker, which we call a cherry bomb in the DMV, exploded and blinded me in both eyes. But in spite of that, every morning I rise, I feel blessed, highly favored, and I know God is good. Greetings, and how are you today, Miss Renee?
Reverend Ray, I am great. What is baffling me is I know February is the shortest month, but how come it seems shorter than normal? I mean, we're already talking about scheduling for the end of the month, and it's like we just got started, yeah? So I don't know. They tell me as you get older, the time seems to fly faster. If that's the case, it's flying really fast.
And, you know, I was being interviewed for a podcast for the American Council of the Blind, and they was for the Black History Month. And one of the things I said when they said, well, why, you know, why was it in February? And I said, well, you know, as they always say, they shortchanged Black people, and they gave us the month with the shortest amount of days in it. I say, but I had to revise that because a friend of mine that's a deacon said, well, no, we don't need as long a time to get things done. That's why we got the shortest month. I said, all right, Deacon Robinson, there you go. But, you know, but this Black History Month, I don't have mixed feelings about it. I think it's something good that it was done. At least it raised the consciousness of Black people to at least talk about it, even though McDonald's might do a little something and other, you know, commercial places throw a little something at it and, you know, and everything, and free McDonald's meal, whatever, whatever, but for mine. But then us as a Black community have to take advantage of that and use it as a springboard to have Black History Month every week, every weekend, every day, every hour. So I'm not going to get way up on my soapbox, so I jump down from that. But anyway, as usual, what we like to have you take away from our show is three things. One, that you have been informed, that you have some inspiration, and hopefully a little entertainment. So, Ms. Renee, what is our rundown of our show for today?
Well, of course, we always begin with the adventures of Mr. Ray and Ms. Raven, his seeing eye guide dog, and then in the news, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the news which affects the disability and senior communities. And just before we sign off, you give us your call to action, how we can serve in our local communities. Now, our guest today is a public servant which means that his time is not his own. And when you are serving the people, sometimes things don't go as planned. And as one of my favorite people, sportscaster, I can't think of his name right now, but as he said, Tony Kornheiser would say, radio goes well. I mean, you do well on radio if everything goes as planned. But if it doesn't go as planned, what is your plan B? So we are going to find that out. Our guest hasn't come on yet, but once he does, we will introduce him. So why don't we begin with the adventures of Mr. Ray and Miss Raven, and then we have in the news the good, the bad, and the ugly, which news which affects disability and senior communities. And I have one little news story that I want to share. So why don't we go ahead and start with the adventures with you, Rev?
All right. So, you know, we like to start the show with the adventures of Reverend Ray and the German Shepherd seeing that dog, Miss Raven, that dog of wonder, and is brought to you by the Big Bad Wolf Pet Store. And the Big Bad Wolf is Wolf is W-O-O-F, Wolf, Wolf. And they have been our sponsors going on 10 years now. The show will be 10 years old, this version of it. In September, we'll be celebrating our 10th year. So hopefully COVID will allow us to be able to come together and cut up a little bit. Big Bad Wolf has been our major sponsor, and we want to thank the owner, Miss Penny, and all the folks over there, and they're located up in the Tacoma Park, and you can call them at 202-474-3434. That's 202-474-3434. And please go to the website, thebigfatwolf.com. And they've been delivering food before COVID hit and people couldn't go out. And all these other companies started putting part of their package as a delivery service. But Miss Penny and them been delivering and dropping off for years and years and years. So if you need anything for your pet, please call. Telling you, top of the line. Pet food. I mean, I asked somebody to read to me, Ms. Renee, to read to me what was in that dog food that Ms. Raven get. I mean, real cheese. I don't know what kind of cheese I've been eating. Whole eggs, lamb. I mean, all kind of stuff. So they really take care of your pet. Now, the adventures of Reverend Ray, he ain't been doing the adventures like he usually do because of this COVID. But Reverend Ray, in his capacity, his job, his real job during the daytime, he is a constituent services liaison. And he was asked to serve on a panel a couple of days ago, so much going on, with some veterinarians because of having a guide dog. And there was a vet on there that specialty was dental. Now, even though Reverend Ray's on his number 7 dog and had dogs since June of 1971, he hadn't been doing all the things he's supposed to. But there's a lot of misnomers. So a couple of things I want to share with you. One, when it comes to your dog having a bone, do not give your dog bone because it would chip their teeth and mess their teeth up. All right? Don't give them bones. People think, hey, it's a dog. They should have a bone. No, no. That's a bad thing. It doesn't sharpen their teeth. It doesn't make them strong. It just messes them up. Second, dog food. People think it's okay for dogs to have this food that they crunching and all that. No, again, it can mess their teeth up. It can fracture them and all. So the best thing is to do is put a little more water in there to moisture it, okay? The other thing is that in brushing the dog's teeth daily, some people say, oh, we don't need to brush it like every other day, once a week. No. The more you brush your teeth, they say if you brush the dog's teeth every day, the dog has an 80% chance of staying healthy. Brush it every other day, it drops down to like 40 or 50. You brush it once a week, well, the vet said you don't need no need to even bother to brush it if you're going to brush it less than already. So, and the thing is, a dog do not like chew, like we think of chewing our food so we can, you know, smash it to get it down. No, a dog usually like hoof it up. So in terms of brushing their teeth, you don't have to worry about trying to get all the way in the back and all of that. The best way to do it is just put some dog toothpaste on the dog's mouth and just hold their mouth closed and just around the sides and all, just brush the dog's teeth in the front of it a little bit. But a lot of people say, yeah, but my dog don't like to put their hand on their teeth stuff. So what you do as you train your dog and work with your dog, put your hands on his mouth and play with it and all. And it'll get used to your hands being in the...
This is so new for those of us who had, Heinz 57 variety dogs. So we're going to have to come back and visit this. But our guest is online, and I want to take advantage because he has a tight, tight schedule. So we're going to bring him up now. And his motto is the people's champ. And our guest, Calvin S. Hawkins II, shares the challenges of living out that motto in Prince George's County, the second largest county in Maryland, as the at-large council person and chair of the county council. Welcome, Councilman.
Thank you for this opportunity. I'm glad to be with two of my favorite people in the whole wide world.
Well, thank you, Councilman. And I do have to make a disclaimer that I do serve on the councilman's staff, and I am the constituent services liaison. And my concentration, I work for all of the 912,000 persons in Prince George County. My concentration is a little on persons with disabilities and seniors. And we so thank the councilman for the opportunity of having someone to represent one of the largest segments of the population is disability, especially seniors. So I just want to make that disclaimer, and we really appreciate this. Not the first time he's been on the show, but it has been a while because I think he done wore out maybe, I don't know, about maybe 35 pair of shoes since the last time we've seen him this or that. So Mr. Lay, let's start with the questions because we know he's a busy man.
We do. All right, Councilman, let me ask you, when did the political bug bite?
The political bug bit maybe around 8, 9 years of age. My father drove former Mayor Walter Washington, the first elected mayor of Washington, D.C. in the modern era, and then he had an opportunity to drive for Marion S. Barry, Jr. And I used to watch Marion Barry, how he stood so straight and tall and loved working for people after coming from the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and doing all the work he did there. I just wanted to be like him, and not so much because he was an elected official, but he cared about people, and that caring about people really resonated with me. And so around 8 or 9 years of age, I started wanting to become involved in politics.
Wow. Now, you ran for an at-large council position. It was your first time running. What was most surprising about being a candidate, going from admiring, we call him the mayor for life, Marion S. Barry, Walter Washington was the first locally elected mayor. What was most surprising about being a candidate, Calvin S. Hawkins?
The most surprising thing about being a candidate was having so many people believe in you, but then seeing the people who you thought were supportive of you mislead you and not tell you the truth instead of just saying, hey, I changed my mind.
Wow.
Okay. When we hear the music there, that means Reverend Ray has to go in his pocket and pay some bills and pay people like Miss Renee and them for they don't, you know, get together and like the Amazon people want to have a union and want all kind of,
yeah.
So anyway. So we'll be back.
Thank you.
So we'll be back on the other side of the commercial.
You are listening to Sight and Vision, Disability, and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Back over to Reverend Ray and our very special guest, the People's Champ, Calvin S. Hawkins II.
All right. Councilman, one of the questions I want to ask you, and you mentioned it, the turnover. That's, I know that the turnover that's in the council, like they used to have meetings every quarter or something like that, and just the turnover, and a lot of the constituents wonder, you know, why does Prince George County government have such turnover? And I mean, we have these very skilled, high-skilled people, and they seem to, you know, go to other counties and stuff like that, but they're very high-skilled people. And I'd be remiss not to ask you to do that because people fall in love with these people sometimes that work for the county.
Yeah. Can you further explain that, Reverend Ray? Give me some examples so that I know how to respond and simplify.
Well, I guess one of them was like the people, like some of the lawyers that work you know, work for the county at Ms. Bray's boy's office. They get used to them, and then they, like, go to a Charles County or something like that, and I don't know if it's just finances or and what our finance base is, but sometimes people are just concerned about that, and they ask about that.
Yeah, I think a lot of, some of the employees that leave find better opportunities for their professional pursuits, not just in the state's attorney's office, in our office of law. You get the experience, whether it's going to doing trial or doing other transactions where you learn the trades of your legal profession, and then you have the practical experience to go to some private law firms, or like you said, go to another county or another jurisdiction where you may receive a higher position with higher pay. And some of the county employees over the last year, I would venture to say many of them were at retirement age, and with this COVID-19 reality, they had a chance to use this opportunity to assess whether they want to continue to work or retire and do something else. So that's what I see. I see an opportunity for upward mobility has resulted in the change that you're referencing.
Oh, okay. All right. Ms. Renee.
Probably some other reasons that I'm not aware of, but, you know, all of them were not positive, I'm sure. But the majority of them either retired or had an opportunity for upward mobility. And it was a good number, Reverend Ray, that didn't leave the county but switch agencies. It may have gone from police department to fire department, from central services to maybe the health department, you know, opportunities.
Oh, okay. I understand. All right, Ms. Renee.
That's why I'm glad I have you, Reverend. You haven't gone anywhere. I know the county executive office trying to get you. I know the state's attorney's office trying to get you. They see the jewel that we have in this gentleman, and I know they trying to get you.
Well, you know, Constance, that takes us right to the next question. Now, a lot of people have cut out the fight for disability rights from human rights. You have a disability liaison office. What?
Ms. Renee?
Yes. What happened?
Go ahead. We didn't hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was building on what the councilman said. I said a lot of people have cut out the fight for disability rights from human rights. They don't see it as part and parcel to the fight for civil rights, et cetera. Now, you have a disability liaison office. You referenced Reverend Ray. Why do you think that's important to highlight disability rights?
I think it's important, but it goes back again to my childhood. Once my mother and father divorced, having grown up in a single-parent household, living in an apartment over in Glass Manor in Oxon Hill, my next-door neighbor had some challenges, and I was a couple of years older than him, and I would let him go around with me. Then we had another neighbor who was blind, and they were my buddies. I would always let them hang out with me, and they would always say, the last thing we would say when we each went to our apartment, don't forget about tomorrow, and don't forget about me. If you're my brother's keeper, if you are your brother's keeper, then keep keeping on and remember me in your prayers at night. So I think Reverend Ray's presence in our office and in this county government, just like the issue with returning citizens, having him here makes certain that we keep at the forefront the concerns they have. And in a few weeks, we're going to discuss how we can further advance the causes that are important to Reverend Ray and the people he represents, and let them know, no, this is not no handout. This is all of us working together to ensure the same things I want as a citizen, he and others have the same opportunity to receive through government funding, private-public partnerships. That's what Calvin Hawkins and Reverend Ray will continue to be about as we move this county forward and make it better than we found it.
Wow. Well, you were elected council chair and to lead a group of your peers. What have you learned in negotiating different points of view?
I'm glad you raised that. Dealing with 10 other personalities is a very humbling experience. But, again, you have to be patient enough to hear what your colleagues are talking about, even if you initially don't agree with it. But in the process of listening, you can learn something and find a way to make it a win-win for everyone as long as it enhances and make our counties better. But Reverend Ray and Mrs. Renee, one of the main things I learned, this is my second year as chair. I was elected a second time by my colleagues. What I've learned the most is the ability to listen. Listen, 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 listen.
Mm-hmm.
Let me make this comment. And what is your impression of this comment? It's more and more being said, and I don't know to your face or behind your back, but that you are probably at this point the most electable candidate that's out there for any position.
Thank God for a good comment. and I love that kind of rumor, but I will say working with my colleagues and working with our phenomenal county executive, I'm just humbled for where I've come from, as you both know, to have not just this moment to serve as chair, but to serve the citizens of the county in my role as a member at large. And, you know, with great compliments come high criticism. And I just learned today that there are some out there that are not trying to find someone to run because I'm doing a bad job, trying to find someone to run against me because of the good job I am allegedly doing. And with that comes, that reality comes with living in a democracy. So I welcome the opportunity, and I welcome this opportunity to run on the record that I've amassed with my colleagues over the last 3 years. And I am hopeful that the citizens of this county agree with what you've heard, Reverend Ray, that I'm electable, so I can experience re-election.
Now,
go ahead, Ms. Renee.
No, Councilman, you alluded to the countywide, that you represent the countywide. Now, explain to listeners, because people are listening from all over the country, explain to listeners the countywide legislative model, how it works, and what have been the challenges. You're an at-large. So you actually have 967,000 bosses, or thereabouts.
Yes. And that's
so
accurate.
Explain briefly.
Yes, within a 499-square-mile municipality, I have to listen to citizens and businesses from the northern part of the county to the southern part, the rural, the inner county areas, the older areas, the more advanced urban development areas. So I'm listening about land use. I'm listening about health and human services issues. I'm listening about public safety. We have 9 council members that serve single-member councilmanic districts, and then we have 2 council member at large. Every member that Mrs. Renee referenced, every citizen, is my boss, and they can call my office and ask me for assistance in whatever that question or issue may be.
And which they do. Let me ask you about the land. One of the things that a lot of persons in the DMV area that they envy Prince George County because they have the land, like Montgomery County, a lot of things about them are well, but they only can build up with Prince George County do have a lot of land and beautiful land. There's a lot set aside for, you know, just natural to be walking through and having a good time. But given that, some statistics that, you know, that's out there and some surveys have been done about how much housing needs to be here in Prince George County in the next 10, 15 years or whatever, how you're balancing that as a council in terms of still keeping the beauty and the greenness of Prince George County and you know, in relationship to being able to have the kind of housing that's needed.
I'm glad you raised that. We are now pressing for and pushing models that ensure we have enough affordable housing. Because we're next to the nation's capital, we're next to Montgomery County, Fairfax County, and the prices for homes in this area are very high, and we are pushing away those who work in the county, our young who are graduating from college, our seniors who are looking for a place that's affordable as they retire and enjoy the evening of life. So we're working on a comprehensive model to ensure that we have housing available for those. We call it affordable housing, but we are not putting it on the outskirts. We are making a part of all the development that we're looking at so that those, whether they're police officers or teachers or just young college students or seniors or singles who are looking for a nice place to live in this county so that they don't have to move out of it. Our goal, Reverend Ray, as you asked, is to ensure that we have enough housing that no matter what your income level is, you have an opportunity to buy and purchase a home to build a family that meets your economic situation.
Hmm. And we're going to come back on the other side. We're going to take a really a break. But one of the questions I want to ask you, Councilman, is that Prince George County has the great positioning and envy of other counties and all that. We have like 15 different subway stations. And so give us a little bit about what you all are looking to do around those subway stations, because transportation is so important. So if you can jump on the subway and go somewhere and do everything you want to do, it's a wonderful thing. So just one moment through this break, and we'll come back, and please give us some information about that. Ms. Renee.
We want to thank our sponsor, Big Bad Wolf, a Primo pet store located in Northwest Washington, D.C. They carry raw, organic, and premium food. If your dog needs it, more than likely they have it. They have store-to-door deliveries in the DMV. That's the District, Maryland, and Virginia. So give them a call at 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. You are listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every Friday. Back over to Reverend Ray and our very special guest, Councilman Calvin S. Hawkins II.
So, Councilman, on that question about the subway station, and I don't know, is it about 15? I think it's about that many. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. You did on point.
Okay. So can you give us a look? Because I know New Carrollton has been built up. I know they're looking probably at Suitland. So can you just share with us what your idea in terms of how to utilize that those transportation points?
I'm glad you brought that up, Reverend Ray. We're now looking at all our efforts is to build around those transit places. We call it transit-oriented development. We're talking about building around our schools, around our metro stations, so that people can live, work, live, and eat and recreate right around where they live. And what that means is putting housing, entertainment, restaurants, facilities around, so that we're the last in the Washington metropolitan area to build around our metro stations, which is our subway, our transit system. Everywhere else in the area have done it, so we're the last, and we're looking at some dynamic projects. If you go and look at New Carrollton, if you go and look at even over here at Morgan Boulevard, our red, blue line, we're doing it. We're looking at, Reverend Ray, how do we build up over at Hydesville, or the Hydesville station, so that we can ensure we're doing an equitable distribution of development to meet the transit-oriented development initiatives that, again, build housing, entertainment, restaurants, and other amenities around our metros.
All right. Ms. Burnett.
Councilman, I want to ask you, you mentioned transportation and affordable housing. Are there any other issues that are flying under the radar locally that you think will gain legs in the next election cycle?
I think how we dealing and responding to some of the public safety issues in our area. I think we're going to deal with the youth development and sports. I think we're going to have a chance to talk about, is our government a high-performing, high-quality government? And I think how we dealt with responding to COVID-19 over the last 2.5 years will be an issue. And we always deal with police reform and how we dealt with that, how we dealing with the stormwater management issues. And one of the bigger challenges we're going to have to deal with and address during this political cycle is how we deal with the mental behavioral health situation.
Mm.
And lastly, how we deal with our seniors and individuals who may have a challenge, whether it's their whether it's their blindness, whether they're physically handicapped, and, or whatever it may be. We had that coming on us to address, and I think those will be the issues that continue to meet the demands of elected officials at the local level.
Let me ask this before you go on, Mr. Knight. You mentioned the health part, and I won't maybe get to the education. But with COVID, there's a new normal for everybody, for the world, not just certain areas. So, Councilman, what have you found that is going to be, from this point on, the new normal for how PG County, Prince George County, conduct their government, their everyday? What is the new normal that, like, I know you all, like everybody else, you know, your meetings on Zoom and you have to restrict public coming into the buildings, and I believe the county is responsible or have like 18 buildings. And so people are not going to be coming back to work, the way they used to. So what are they going to do with all those buildings? And what is the new normal going to be?
I'm glad you asked that. Right now, as you know, this COVID-19 hit caught us all off guard, and I believe Prince George's County has responded to it in a way that we have met the challenges. And one thing I can say about the county council and the county executive and the team that have responded, we've dealt with everything from a medical science perspective. If the science say, hey, COVID-19 is still prevalent and pervasive, then our buildings have stayed shut. We haven't done the take off your mask, then you got to put it back on. We didn't say you come in government buildings, and the numbers went back up, and we had to change. So we believe the new normal, we're actually going around retrofitting the buildings, that, especially the ones the county owns, to ensure that we could either be in person or hybrid going forward. Because like you said, we believe that's going to be the new normal. Many of our businesses or government agencies will be hybrid because they don't have direct interaction with the public on a daily basis. So there's no need to really have them coming in if they don't need to. But buildings like ours, Reverend Ray, where the public accesses, we are talking about, scheduling staff so that all of us are not in here at once. We're respecting the social distancing. So it's things like that, how you schedule your staff, how you retrofit your office, where we're eliminating as much as possible, increasing the chances of co-employees becoming impacted by this COVID because another employee had it. And I will say, we keep in place the machine monitors, whether you've been vaccinated and you got your booster, still checking your temperature and everything in the morning before you come in the building. It's just all kind of safety measures like that that years before we didn't even have to worry about any of this. But just remaining vigilant and following the signs, following where the numbers tell us we are, and making sure we never get more overconfident and arrogant about responding to this COVID-19 or this pandemic in a way that we become so comfortable that we set the science, the medical responses aside, because they say we're going through an epidemic now, but we have to remain vigilant, and that's what we are committed to do as elected officials at the local level.
All right. Okay. Let's relax.
Okay. Well, Councilman, you serve as the NACO chair, which is the National Association of Counties, and their motto is Stronger Counties, Stronger America. Now, I know that NACO represents over 3,000 county governments across the country. What have you learned meeting with so many county leaders from across the country that you can bring back to Prince George's County?
Best practices. Dealing with all my colleagues from around the country, they were just here this past weekend for the annual legislative conference where we went to our elected officials at Capitol Hill, our state senators and congressmen, to discuss issues impacting counties. And what I've been so humbled and grateful about is as I go and talk to a colleague from Montana or Texas or California or Maine, New York, North Carolina, what I've been most pleased about is how they are willing to share information on the best practices and listen and exchange dialogue, like how they dealt with some of the COVID-19 reality, how they spent their American Rescue funds. And we had all kind of dialogue. But you know what's so significant about it? Whether they came from a red state or blue state, whether they were Republican or Democrat, at NACO, we are all talking as county officials, elected and non-elected, on how we can move counties further and advance what we're trying to do in our individual respective counties as well as a collective body under the umbrella of NACO. So if I would have to say, I've learned how to collaborate and connect and collaborate with individuals throughout the country. I can pick up the phone, shoot an email or a text, and I'll get a response, a timely response to assist me with whatever it is I'm looking for. So that's been my greatest experience with NACO, the ability to collaborate and get support on best practices.
Okay.
Well, let me ask a question. Yeah,
okay.
Councilman. Now, you had the experience and the good fortune to be and work for the first black county exec in Prince George County, which now the council and the county exec is housed in the building named after him. It's a wonderful building. And then you also had the opportunity to work with another county exec, Mr. Baker. Now, you was on that side of the fence, but now since becoming a council person, is it as different as you thought it would be, even though he was right there in the inner circle, but being actually the man, is it different? And what's the biggest difference that hit you, like you woke up and say, I didn't know they had to do this?
I'm glad you asked that, sir. Especially working with County Exec Wayne Curry as the first African-American County Exec in the history of Prince George's County. The barriers he had to overcome, the obstacles that was in his way and the challenges he had to deal with for being that first, but observing his brilliance and courage to deal with everything head on from arriving on as a county exec with a structural deficit to debating and deliberating with the late Jack Kent Cook on the Redskins Stadium. It was just so much. He was just a great negotiator because he always talked to me about you must be prepared, read the information, understand the information, so when you go in a meeting, you are fully comprehensive of what the topics are, what may be the obstacles to the topic, but more importantly, prepare yourself because the citizens who may never meet you are counting on you to look out for their interests as the county is at. And then working with Mr. Baker, I thought he was a very effective behind-the-scenes negotiator. And so as I say that, now that I'm on the council, I realize working in the executive branch, you were working with the lion, a person that's normally the animal that roams the male lion by himself, and then you down here with the council is like a wolf pack. You know, you can't make a decision by yourself. It has to be a game. And I just learned that the county exec can implement, but the council legislate in their oversight. So basically, I'm dealing with a group of colleagues that some will say they think we are 11 junior county executives.
Well, that's the music, and we're going to come. That's going to be an outbreak, and we're going to come back on the other side. And, Councilman, what I'd like you to address coming back on the other side, how important, because I have this fight every day with constituents, how important is it for constituents to understand, or at least get to know who their representatives are and to be involved in their county government, and we have 27 municipalities, and just you know, share with us how important that is. But as a lot of people think, once you vote for a elected official, okay, you don't have to worry about seeing them again until 2 years, 4 years later, or whatever. But I just want you to share, is that, do you need that kind of support and not so much somebody looking over your shoulder? So when we come back on the other side, I'd like you to share how important it is for the citizens, the residents to be involved.
Thank you.
You are listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Back over to Reverend Ray and our very special guest, the People's Champ, Calvin S. Hawkins II, Council at Large, Councilman at Large, and Chair of the County Council.
All right, thank you. That is a lot of tongue twister. So, so Mr. Councilman, would you tell us about the residents and their government? I mean, is it important for them to know who their representatives are?
Yes, it's very important because one political scientist coined it in this way. He said, politics is about the business of who gets what, when, and how. If you're not in the conversation, you're on the table. And what I mean by that is, even if you don't know who your elected officials are, you should just call this or his or her office, introduce yourself, and see what kind of response you get. Most citizens do not contact their elected officials because they very rarely need them for anything. All they're concerned about is a good government, effective government, and, you know, they go about their daily lives, whether it's dealing with their kids, their family, their job. They very seldom get involved. But you have to get involved in issues that you think are important to you. And the best time to do that is now. And, you know, just check in. Go to their website, see what's going on. But you have to stay involved. Call your council member, call your county exec office, call your state senators and state delegates, even your congresspeople, and just introduce yourself. Get to know someone on their staff, and you got to stay involved and stay up with the issues.
Okay. And in terms of staying up with the issues, now, a lot of people don't realize that, I know with COVID right now, but even with COVID, the county meetings, the county council meetings every Tuesday, people can get online, and when with in person, they could come to the different meetings to find out what's going on. So even now, those meetings are still available to the public to get online to be able to hear some of the decision making or whatever passion that people have on their heart. Is that right?
Yes, that is it, and they can do it. They get up to 3 minutes, depending on the topic. They can come and voice their concerns, and they may have a concern that's not even on the agenda, but if they want to talk about it, they can, because this is the people's this is the people's council. This is we serve the people, and if we're not serving the people and supporting their interests or talking about what they're concerned about, then we're missing the mark.
And let me ask you this. I'd be remiss if I don't ask this, because in every meeting, even in white meetings that I have throughout the county, throughout this region, when Prince George County is mentioned, and when you hear this, and I know you do, I just want to know what your reaction is. When they say Prince George County is the richest the richest black county in the world, what did that bring up to you when you hear that Prince George County is the richest black county in the world?
It's a humbling statement, but at the same time, what does it mean when we're the richest county and the highest educated county for black people in the world if we're not meeting the mark and the goals of doing things that support that kind of statement? I kind of shun away from it because I want to ask myself that after I finish my term in office, did I rise to the occasion of hearing people say that? Or did I make that a laughing joke? Or could they look at Calvin Hawkins and say, you know, that brother there represented the richest county and the highest in education for black people in the world. He was a representative of that reality. Or did I fumble the ball?
Hello, Ms. Burnett.
But let me ask you, what do you like best about your job?
Talking to your husband and my staff every day.
That's a politician for you.
But
okay, because these are our last three questions. So I'm getting
talking to the citizens and even during this pandemic, being out in the community, I get my fuel from talking to citizens. Some of them are unkind, some of them are great, but they are the citizens that elected me, so I love talking to them, good or bad. It fuels my fire.
Okay, so building on that, what lessons has your work life taught you?
Balance out between home and work. And to continue, I outwork anyone, I believe, not because I'm trying to compare my work, my approach to my work with anyone else, but I love it so much. I'm in here in the wee hours, and Reverend Ray beats me in here every time he's here. But and I thought I worked the latest. He worked later than I do. But, you know, I keep long hours, Ms. Renee, and I just love it because I love people.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask, and then we'll let Reverend Ray
finish up. Okay. You have any favorite stories from your work life
that you can tell on this family radio show?
Yeah. My favorite story is a senior citizen who's in a wheelchair asked me for some help, and she said, no politician ever keep his or her word. And I kept my word, and she grabbed my hand and said, God favors you because to someone living out the last days of her life, you brought hope to me and you brought back to my life my belief that humans are really good people because you kept your word and you got it done. And that may seem like, wow, that's not much. But when that lady was, that senior was telling me that, I saw my mother, I saw my grandmother, and I saw all those seniors who helped me along the way talking to me through her words.
And wow, I still that get is a them. Powerful story. That's a powerful story. That's a powerful story.
And let me use that as the springboard to what I was going to ask. You, has been heard often that you said the two, one of the two important things to you is loyalty and family. And it has been demonstrated by you that during your campaigns, the family members that you have, and they often, and I hate to bring this up, but often they say, you know, black people, they don't support each other, the families don't support each other. But one of the things that was so significant and visible was the support of your family. So where did that come from for a black family? I mean, y'all not like the King family or all them big families and stuff everybody hear about. But you all family really rallied around you to support you. And where did that come from?
I think it came from just being a close-knit family, but also, Reverend Ray, you and Mrs. Renee can appreciate this. When you've gone through the trials and tribulations of life and you've been at the valley of darkness and your family who loved you and prayed for you watched your journey from that valley of darkness and come back out to where the sunshine of hope is, they can't help but be with you because they see in you the story of their kids. They see in you the story of so many in their community, and they see that if you can overcome the obstacles and challenges that kept you down to become someone that can stand up and defend and support and live for others, they can't help but be behind you because you're the prodigal son that's come home. And they're praying for you while working with you.
Now, I know that's good. And I know Joe Madison, that was one of my mentors in radio. He's considered the Black Eagle, but you have become the Black Hawk. And in being the Black Hawk, what has it been like for you? Because you, as you say, you're a people person. You the person that helped move tables or help clean up. And so what was the transition for you to go from that to being how to delegate? And I know you still do some of that behind the scenes, but what has it been for you to have to present yourself all the time as a polished politician?
It's hard, but thank God people like you and Reverend Renee who helped me become that person I need to be, that polished politician. Because I'm just a good old country city boy serving the people. And I'd rather show you and lead by example than ask you to do something that I can do and show by example.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Councilman, for your time. But we know you're busy. But anything you was like a nugget of wisdom that, or anything you'd like to leave us with as we close?
I would just like to say to all your listening audience, when the hawk swoops down, if I haven't been to your community in Prince George's County, don't look up, don't look down, don't look around. Just look right in front of you, and I'll be there to help wherever I can. God bless all of you. And by the way, these great couple that host this show had a great anniversary this week. So happy belated anniversary, Brother Ray and Miss Renee.
Thank you so much, Councilman.
And I hope your wife, Miss Angie, had a beautiful 12th, her birthday. I'm not going to give her age, and I know you definitely ain't going to give her age if you do want to run again next year. So thank you, Kelsey. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Ms. Renee. That was very informative, entertaining, and inspirational. Really, really, really. And I
absolutely
just admire the family aspect, just how, and I so often heard that comment that his family was doing a campaign, you know, was there aunt this and sister this and brother this, and like, my goodness, you know? So that is rewarding. That is rewarding. That says a lot about him and his family. His mother, that he lost a couple of years ago, she was right there with the rest of them. So anyway,
wow.
Ms. Renee, that's our show. Any closing remarks for you before I sign us off?
No, I think you better sign us off. We're running a little over.
All righty. Well, my time is up. I thank you for your time. And until the next time, I like to say, this is Reverend Ray. I might not have sight, but I can have vision, vision, vision. God bless and be blessed.
You have been listening to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio. Have an idea for a show? Contact us in all the usual ways. You can email us at snvradioshow@gmail.com. That's the letters S as in Sam, N as in Nancy, V as in Victory, radioshow@gmail.com. Or give us a call at 301-377-6468. That's 301-377-6468. Want to listen to this show again or a past show? Type in the address bar, snvradio.com. That's snvradio.com. See you next week for information that's important to the disability and senior communities.